Coming up on this episode, the highly anticipated follow-up to The Avengers, Iron Man 3, coming up now on This Rant. Apologize for the slight buzzing noise you'll hear throughout this episode.
Hello again, and welcome to this edition of Rambling About Notable Topics. I'm your host, Kyle Cicilloni, and today I'm joined by
Eric Seary
and Cassie Cota.
Welcome to the show. It's been a little bit since the last episode, aka 2 weeks like normal.
Lazy.
But yeah, sure. So I have you guys here today. This isn't going to be too long of an episode. It's just going to be a quick thing. But I did want to talk about it because it is a very big deal. And it just came out. We're recording this on Sunday, May the 5th. Cinco de Mayo. Happy Cinco de Mayo, Eric. Today we're going to be talking about Iron Man 3. And it's the newest iteration of Marvel movies. It's the actual kind of sequel to The Avengers, I would say. The third in the Iron Man trilogy. And this time around, it's directed by Shane Black, who also is part of the writing credits. Shane Black is basically only notably for doing Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which came out like 2007 or something, and was acclaimed pretty well. A lot of people really liked it. It was a very comedic, action-y kind of thing, which goes along with exactly why Iron Man 3 is the way it is, which we'll get to in a bit. It stars Robert Downey Jr., Gwyneth Paltrow, Don Cheadle, Guy Pearce, and Rebecca Hall, and Ben Kingsley, and Jon Favreau. So the same people around, except now including Guy Pearce and Ben Kingsley and Rebecca Hall, I guess, even though she's barely in the movie, really. So I just kind of wanted to get your initial opinions. I guess, actually, since it's a Sunday, we have the numbers for how Iron Man 3 did this weekend. So I guess we'll start about that first, and that could be included in what you guys want to talk about. So this weekend, Iron Man 3 freaking smashed the box office and made $175 million, which is the second highest opening domestically for the United States box office, only behind $207 million, The Avengers. So 30 million behind that or so. When number three was Harry Potter, the last Harry Potter film. So that made like 169 or something when that came out. So this has already done really well. For those of you who know that I do an annual summer movie wager, most people on the list this year, I think everyone but one person put Iron Man 3 at the top, and the way it's looking, that is going to be the case for this summer. So, interesting stuff. And let's start with Cassie. What did you think? What's your experience with Iron Man and Marvel movies, and your attitude and opinions towards that first, I guess, and then you can talk about Iron Man 3.
Okay. Well, I was never a comic book reader, so when I go into the movies, I normally don't have as much background in them as a lot of my friends do. So it's most of my opinions are based purely just on going to the movies and just seeing what's there and not having any history with that. I've always loved any of the Marvel movies. I loved Thor, The Avengers, obviously, were awesome, Captain America, and I never really watched Hulk. I didn't really get into him.
Which one? Did you see either of them? The Ang Lee one from 2003?
I just never was really big into the character in general. However, Avengers really made me think that.
You don't have to see the movies.
Yeah. Honestly, The Avengers is the best of any of the Marvel characters, just that movie alone, just watching that. But the Incredible Hulk was pretty good, the one with Ed Norton back in, 2008 or something, whenever that came out. That was actually surprisingly good. Because, it came out the same summer as Iron Man, the first Iron Man, so... I would suggest seeing that. It's pretty good. It's not great, but,
Yeah.
It's better than the majority of Marvel movies, which isn't really saying much, though.
I loved all those movies, and I've always loved Tony Stark's character, just the whole, rich guy that's kind of a smart aleck, and,
Someone has the hots for Tony Stark.
What woman doesn't love Robert Downey Jr.? I think even guys can agree. He's a very attractive man, just saying.
I disagree.
Eric is completely heterosexual.
And
that point comes to you, Kyle.
Oh, dear. It's getting awkward in here. We're in a tight space, by the way, too, so this is really weird.
All the Iron Man movies were awesome. I liked 3. I saw it when it came out on Friday, and I went into it, actually, this time with a little bit of background and history, because I talked to a friend that was a fellow comic book fan, I guess. And I went in with some expectations, which kind of threw me off, because it's better when you have no expectations. I was a little disappointed, because from what he told me about the Mandarin, which is the villain, it's completely different.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't at all what I was expecting. Everything that he told me made me think, was it the same person that he was talking
right.
about? Because it didn't match up at all.
Yeah, a lot of fanboys are actually freaking out and very angry. A lot of the really, like, hardcore Marvel fans are just completely mad about this, the way they portrayed the Mandarin in this. And let me just interrupt really quick, just for those of you listening. If you haven't seen Iron Man 3, we are going to go into spoilers. We're not going to limit ourselves to only talking about the base ideas of the movie. We will probably get into spoilers, so if you haven't seen it and you don't want to get anything spoiled,
turn it off and come back later.
Yeah, pause it, go see it, and then resume play. So,
but, file options, play, Catherine.
So I was originally told that he has, like, these 10 rings that have special powers, or, like, alien rings or something that he stole from a ship that, like, they were powering, and I don't know, like, it seemed really badass. And then in the movie, it's so fake, because it's this guy that's supposedly the Mandarin, but he's just the face, and it's really this other guy behind the scenes and kind of like the puppet master. But even then, I mean, we were talking about this earlier, about how the guy that really what starts this all is that Tony Stark blows him off from meeting him on the roof of a building. They were going to discuss their research, and that's what sets this whole thing in motion, and it's like the longest grudge ever for nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say the...
What, is he a chick?
I'll get into it when I talk about it. Anyway, Eric, let's talk about your... How your deal is with Marvel movies and what you thought about Iron Man 3.
Well, the thing is, with Marvel movies, you have to go into it without any knowledge. Otherwise, you're going to be very disappointed with every movie you see from Marvel. Because no matter what kind of knowledge you have about it, that's your expectation, and they're never going to deliver, because following a script that old in time, they're not going to do. They're going to remake it for the new audiences today that do not read the old comic books. So I have knowledge about most comic book backgrounds. I was not very familiar with Iron Man, so obviously I had to look it up. And I was highly disappointed when I saw the villain. But with any Marvel movie, if you go in with no knowledge of it, it's an enjoyable movie, you'll like it. But if you have expectations, they kind of drop the ball.
That's so funny, because you could say that about any movie. If you just go in expecting to hate it, you'll love every movie you ever see.
Well, what kind of history do you have with, like, War of the Worlds?
Well, yeah.
That's happened in history in the year 1512.
No, I totally understand what you're saying about Marvel. And they're not as much, like, they are adaptations of these comic books, but it doesn't really follow the specific stories of, you know, the comics themselves. And first of all, even beyond that, there are so many different iterations of all of these characters in different stories throughout the Marvel Universe, and comic books and graphic novels and all that, TV shows, everything like that.
That may be, but their backgrounds are generally 100% accurate.
Yeah, usually they're the same.
They just make something up to make it fit this story.
And these movies definitely borrow a lot of that from it. I mean, they take the basic idea of who the character is and what they do and kind of Hollywoodize it. And obviously that's for obvious reasons. They need to make it a broader appeal to audiences to bring people in. Obviously they do that because, as we see, even, you know, in general, all we see are sequels and remakes, and there's a good reason why that happens. It's because these movies make money.
Or books that are turned into movies and all the book fans hate it. It's the same thing with everything,
Yeah. So, with Iron Man 3, I really disliked the trailers. The trailers didn't get me excited. I was kind of dreading going to see it after seeing the trailers, because I was like, this is going to be like... I swear to God, if there's some sort of, like, moral message about, like, terrorism in this movie, I'm just going to be, like, stop preaching. This is annoying.
If you do it, you will meet Iron Man. You will meet Tony Stark, and you can be blazed off your ass.
So, I didn't have many high hopes going into this. when I did see it, I saw it Thursday night in 3D. I wish I didn't see it in 3D because the projector, they don't compensate 3D movie passive 3D movies, the screens themselves for 3D. Because when you put the glasses on, it makes everything significantly darker. And it's not that you couldn't see anything, but it makes the whole experience overall just darker. And a lot of this movie does kind of happen at night. So it kind of takes away from a little bit of that. They need to calibrate the screens for 3D. They don't know that.
Everyone needs to sleep and do it during the day.
Yeah, so I mean, if you haven't seen it yet and you're all still listening to this, I would advise not seeing it in 3D. Just go see it normally. But I did like Shane Black's kind of tone that he brought to this. It's very his style. He brought his own thing to it. It's very funny. There's a lot of funny moments in it. And it doesn't really deliver on a lot of the normal superhero beats that typical Marvel movies and superhero movies kind of deliver on. But it's really funny, and it's really fun, and it's kind of lighthearted for the most part, with the exception of Tony Stark, like, kind of falling apart.
I didn't get that.
Psychologically.
That was funny.
And physically, I guess.
But it didn't. It seems so out of character from what I've seen in the movies.
Well, the whole thing is that it's all the fallout. It's all the fallout from Avengers.
Right, which I understood that.
Which makes sense.
Which was his first big thing as his superhero.
Right. Right.
But which actually happens.
Because you could definitely see his character just completely change. He's not this egotistical, you know, like power-hungry maniac anymore like he was in the first two Iron Mans. Now he's more grounded to reality, and he's got flaws. And I kind of like that they delve into this idea. But
they did it a different way than from Iron Man 2, because in Iron Man 2 he was bound to the human laws of death. So he was giving all this stuff away.
Right.
Now it's something he can't comprehend yet.
Right.
Once he travels onto another galaxy with his suit, then he's perfectly fine with everything.
Yeah. And let's see. The action set pieces were pretty great, especially the one where the Mandarin like blows up his house. That was really awesome, and the plane sequence was really cool, even though I don't know why he didn't call in his other suits to come and do that, because at that point he already had Jarvis. He already had the suit reenacted with Jarvis. It was like two scenes prior or something. Anyway, it was still cool to see. But, yeah, I can sit here and nitpick this movie to death. There's some pretty gaping plot holes, and there's little things that bother me here and there, and the ending is a complete mess. The third act is just absolutely awful. But it was kind of fun, though, like in its own kind of way. I definitely enjoyed it more than two. I don't think I definitely didn't enjoy it as much as Avengers, but I think I enjoyed one more, maybe because it's the first time you're meeting this character, so everything's very fresh and you kind of see where it all comes from. And this movie, it's kind of the opposite. You kind of see how it ends and how he's giving it all up, kind of thing. But it just didn't deliver on a lot of the things that I had hoped it would. I do appreciate the ambition, because I hate when movies just kind of follow the same set of guidelines and same rules from movie to movie and nothing really changes. So I do give it credit for that, because that's always nice to see when movies, you know, take a chance, I guess.
And fail.
And sometimes they fail. Most times they... Ambitious films are... I appreciate ambitious films, because I'd rather see a movie try and fail than to not try at all and succeed on a very minimal and basic level. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
So.
I'd like to kind of go back to the whole anxiety attack thing, though.
Yeah.
What confused me, like, tying that in with the end, because, you know, at the end, he gives away, or, like, he blows up all of his suits, and then they get rid of the shrapnel that's in his chest, which kind of started it all.
Yeah.
But that was never an issue. Like, that was really random at the end. Because
throughout
the whole movie, the issue was the anxiety attacks.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm getting better. And they're taking the shrapnel out. I'm like, but that was never the issue. That wasn't the problem. That wasn't why he wasn't sleeping. He wasn't sleeping because aliens exist and he couldn't comprehend it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that's kind of why I didn't like the anxiety attack thing. I like the vulnerability that he showed with it, like, that brought to the character. But it still, to me, it seemed out of character. But, again, that's just coming from, I don't have any background with comics and stuff. Does that follow? Do you know if that follows the comics?
I don't know. I haven't really read any of the Iron Man. Okay. I really had no knowledge of Iron Man going into the first Iron Man. So my all my knowledge is based on kind of what we've seen in the Marvel movies.
Okay.
For the most part. Eric?
Yeah, that was something else.
From what I can remember, I can remember, he never really gets the shrapnel out.
Yeah. I was pretty sure that that was a pretty important part of, you know, who
empowering
Iron Man is. Yeah, empowering this. Well, I think that was only relevant in the first movie, I believe.
No, the second one.
Was it that one too?
Yes, because in the second one, Jarvis says to him, the constant use of palladium in your chest powering the suit is rapidly accelerating the poison within your blood.
Every time he was in the suit, it got worse.
But didn't he then like upgrade the suit to be more efficient or to...
He just upgraded his chest plate.
Oh, yeah, okay. he created a new element is what happened. Okay. Right.
Yeah, so yeah, the whole... Like I said, the ending to this movie is the resolution is a mess. Just everything happens very quick for no reason. It's all of a sudden, and it's
pretty much the writers just said, "Hey, how are we gonna end it? Let's do it this way."
Yeah, they really wanted to just kind of end it and I don't know, wrap things up in a nice tight package, because I think that they want to continue the Iron Man idea and the story and the character, but I think that they want to retire Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man in the suit. He won't retire Tony Stark, but they'll retire Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark as Iron Man, basically. So I think in the next iterations of wherever Iron Man takes place, whether it's Iron Man 4 or obviously the Avengers 2, I'm sure he'll be in it. I don't think we'll see Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man in a suit. We'll see Tony Stark. We'll see Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark is in a vital part of the story, I'm assuming, because, you know, people like him and he's a very vital, important character to the story of the Avengers. Obviously, he was the kind of the main idea of the Avengers.
Well, so, in the Avengers, his role is to come up with the ideas, and Captain America's is to order everybody to do it.
Yeah.
And then they just appease his ego because they don't want to listen to him.
Yeah. So, and it's cool. They do a lot of, there are a lot of callbacks to the Avengers from this movie. Just story in general, and just there's one part in the Avengers when Captain America is when you're not something along the lines of when you're not in the suit, what are you, or something. Take away the suit, and what are you, or something like that. Which is a cool callback, because that's kind of what this movie shows, basically. You know, he's more than just a suit. I guess he's more of an idea and a kind of that thing. But yeah, the ending. Let's talk about the villain.
No.
I know we.
Can we not? All yeah. Right.
I know
Fail.
We.
Done.
I know we mentioned the Mandarin earlier, but I want to talk about Killian, Guy Pearce's character, who was thrown into it very abruptly. Obviously there's no mention of him in any of the other Iron Man movies. You know, he was specifically made for this one, but there's no history behind him. They do a brief 5-minute intro in the beginning of the movie to kind of explain why he does everything he does, even though that's still not even clear for some reason why he's even doing any of this and to such an extreme.
Well, they have to do that with all these new Marvel movies coming out because they kill the villains.
Yeah.
In the comics and all the other adaptations, the superhero holds restraint and just locks them up in a special cell that they create for them.
Yeah.
This one, they kill them off. So
yeah,
they have to keep introducing new people with 5-second intros.
If there's one thing I have a problem with all of these modern Marvel movies is the villain. The villains are usually pretty lackluster and not very innovative, not creative, just not appealing whatsoever, really. Using Loki for the Avengers, I was kind of disappointed because I really wish they had either done more, used more people or something. I know we find out that he's not really the exact bad guy.
He's working for someone else, but
still, just bring him in. And even in the Incredible Hulk, the villains in that were really lame. The first Iron Man, it was just the other guy that works with him. What was it? Obadiah or whatever his name was. He was kind of, and even in the second one, Mickey Rourke's character, Whiplash, was in it. He has one cool scene, and then he's in jail, and the villains are always just kind of half-assed, I feel. And the only one I could really remember recently is that I really enjoyed was Red Skull was pretty cool in Captain America. I really wish I hope they bring him back when Captain America 2 comes out, and I really hope they can incorporate him into the Avengers somehow at some point, because that would be cool. Because I don't know,
Red Skull is a
pretty threatening character in Captain America.
Red Skull is like Megatron. You think he's dead? He probably should be dead, but he's not.
Yeah, he just keeps coming back. But yeah, so Killian is just kind of a mess. Guy Pearce is good. Like, I like Guy Pearce. I think he does a good job. But, I mean, he can only do so much with what he's given. He doesn't really have any time or a chance to kind of eat up the scenery in the scenes. He's just kind of there a minute, and then he's gone, and he's just – every time you see him, it's because there's a very important thing happening. You don't really see a lot of him and what's going on in general. We kind of see, you know, how he's manipulating and controlling all of this terrorism thing, and then we see him turn into one of the flame people. I guess like it happens all of a sudden.
What, he's one of the upgraded human beings. Right. That's what he was talking about.
So he's Magmar.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So one is I really hate the whole idea of how this whole flame thing works. If they had just, I don't know, if the way that like the whole upgrading your brain is like a cool idea, but the result of it. First of all, why does that happen? Like, why? What does fire have to do with anything or doing this? Like, regeneration, like, well, how is that even associated with it?
I don't know, but I think that was tying into, like, the girl's research and, like, when What's-His-Face was playing with the ficus and then it got pissed off because he, you know,
right,
and it just blew up.
Right.
Yeah, because he ripped off a leaf or something like that. And
which, again, that's the problem with this, too, is that, I mean, they don't really need to go into, like, huge detail to explain this kind of thing, but some sort of, you know, scientifical explanation for why this is happening would be nice. Because they just, like,
just
oh,
make
yeah.
it up. No one's going to understand.
I know. They could just be like, oh, yeah, the zenith freaking planetarium thing makes your body regrow and it causes fire because of magmaric
properties.
Yes. Whatever. It doesn't matter. I just got to make it up.
If you're a scientist going into that trying to figure it out, go home.
Yeah. So you tap into the brain to create this regenerative property for people who have lost limbs or whatever, that kind of thing. And that's a cool idea. Like, I like the idea that, you know, that this is something that they're trying to do and it backfires. But the way it backfires, this doesn't make any sense. And then the people can melt stuff with their hands. Like, first of all, why does Killian do it to himself? He wasn't missing any limbs or anything.
He had a cane. So he had some kind of...
He had some leg problems.
Yeah, he had a leg problem, and he had, like, really blotchy skin.
And he was ugly
hair.
As balls.
Yeah.
So if you get your brain filled, you become handsome, I guess.
Yeah.
It's the moral
I guess,
story.
But again, like I said, it's not really explained. His motivation is just really a kind of a mess. It's very muddy. And, you know, and then the one part, the one that really, like, put the icing on the cake is when he breathed fire. That was just... what? I think I said something out loud when that happened. I started laughing or something. I was like, this is just ridiculous.
Yeah, there were a lot of
times ridiculous.
I laughed.
Oh, my God.
That put it entirely too over the top.
That was very much over the top.
Like, that was ridiculous.
I know they're trying to make it cool, but like, oh, man, come on. Seriously. He's like turning into Charizard now. But
hey,
I will
say.
Melt
this almost indestructible metal on the so-called Iron Patriot.
Yeah.
Did they ever explain why all the people that. Because they were amputees and then their limbs grew back, why all of a sudden are they just doing everything that he said? You know,
he's not brainwashing them and, you know what I mean?
I think the only explanation that I could come up with when I thought about it was maybe that there's the possibility that you could overheat, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And
I get that.
So they need to make sure. So in order for them to be under the, you know, I guess the stay with the research, they needed to do what he told them to do.
Maybe, yeah.
But other than that, it just seemed like they didn't have any motivation at all.
Nothing
they
is
just
explained.
Following blindly. Yeah. Oh, you gave me back my leg. Now I'm going to go kill some people for
right.
you.
I don't know. Those actors made it seem like they wanted to do that.
Yeah, they were so vicious.
And then, and what was capturing the president? What was the purpose of that? What does the president have to do with anything that was going on with what Killian was doing?
To show that there was government corruption with the vice president? I don't know.
Yeah, but he was working with the vice president. That was the whole point, because the vice president's daughter was, like, missing a leg or something, so he was working for
Killian.
Right,
but I mean... Oh, yeah, I know. Like, what's his reason for it?
I guess it's him becoming the president so that he has more power... For Killian, like for the research, for everything, I guess it's a government poll.
He mentioned something about filling the position of president,
right?
So
which, again,
more power.
Is vice president to president really going to make that big of a difference for Killian's company and research? Like, is it going to be that significant?
Right.
And especially, obviously, it's going to be very obvious what's happening. Anyway, but yeah, so is that the one? I will say the one cool thing during the last battle, although I feel like seeing all the Iron Man suits, while it was kind of cool to see certain ones, felt kind of gimmicky and could have been used in a better way, maybe. But I will say that his fight between Killian, even though Killian was just stupid and kind of awful, seeing him kind of like melt the suits and him jumping from suit to suit was pretty cool. I will say that was kind of neat during that final set piece, the final action set piece. That
but
was
he only
cool.
has Jarvis for like two suits, and all the other ones just kind of went there.
Yeah. But and then the whole thing with Pepper Potts, how like she falls into the flames. You think she's dead, and then she comes back, and she kind of like helps him kill the thing. And then, oh, she's better. Oh, we'll give her this thing, this shot.
He's like, oh, yeah, don't worry. I got you covered. I'll fix you. Yeah. Like, okay.
But all those other people, yeah, they're screwed. Don't worry about
I kind
them.
Of understood it when I was wasted, but now that I'm sober, don't worry about it.
Oh, man. Just
here, let me inject you with ibuprofen.
Yeah.
You're better.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
The movie definitely made me more anxious and disappointed as the movie went, because just everything towards the end was just awful. But I mean, there are definitely some cool moments, and I'm kind of excited to see where this is going to put, like, what's going to happen with Avengers 2, I guess, basically. So, because I really, really liked the Avengers, so I'm excited for that. But, so, yeah. Any other thoughts before we finish up?
Yeah, I think two little things.
Aldridge Killian, I think.
There you
was
go,
his name.
Killian, okay.
Killian.
It didn't seem like he had much of a goal. All of
right,
it was
so I'm saying his motivation is completely muddied.
Yeah.
There's no clear. Like, I know it's the grudge thing and it's to get power
Which
to
is
power
great,
his research.
What was the purpose of bringing it to such an extreme to what was he doing that for,
right.
other than to get back at Tony
right.
Stark?
I guess you can say an argument would be that what he did to himself with his research and his product manipulated his, like, messed with his mind and became like, mad. Kind of, he kind of went mad, which is a really lame explanation, and there's really, again, no explanation behind that at all, but...
And then with Potts, I mean, she... I didn't even feel bad when she went into the flames because I'm like, she's not dead. Because you saw earlier that they were injecting her with the serum, whatever, so you knew that she was changing and she was accepting it.
Right.
And then when she goes into the flames, I turned to the person next to me and said, she's not dead. She's going to be fine because she has that flame inside her. So she's going to come back and save him. And that's exactly what happened. It's very predictable. And I just normally, when the love interest of the hero dies or supposedly dies, you're supposed to have some type of emotion. I had no emotion whatsoever.
I don't know about you guys, but in the theater I was at, people had more emotion for the stupid robot hand falling off the cliff than they did for Pepper falling in the fire. Where I was like, oh, I lost it when I heard that.
But yeah, I mean, I guess that's it. I've touched on most of what I want to talk about.
I think that when they reboot the series, not if, because I know that they will eventually, they need to redo the Mandarin the way he's supposed to be with all of his rings, because the way they had the actor portraying the Mandarin was awesome.
Yeah, I think the twist of the Mandarin was hilarious. Like, I think Ben Kingsley was fantastic. Like, the first time you see him, he's like, oh, yeah, don't go in that bathroom for a bit. Like, that was hilarious. So with the two girls that are, like, coked
up. He was hysterical.
That was awesome. And that's a really funny twist. I'm sure it pissed off a lot of Marvel fans. But, you know, it was kind of funny. And it worked for the movie because that was the tone of the movie. It was, like, a comedic undertone of all this, you know, very kind of semi-serious events going on.
They need to redo them though.
Yeah. Or
I agree.
Just disappointed.
In general, yeah. Every villain in all of these Marvel and all of these Iron Man movies have been pretty awful, and they would have made for much better movies if they were better villains and had kind of better motivations or something.
Well, and I feel like I'd be able to forgive them for the villain in this movie if, like Eric said, in the next one they actually bring out the rings and they bring out
right,
stuff that he's supposed
to
have and they make him into the villain he's supposed to be,
right.
Then it's forgivable. Because I can say, okay, well, they were just introducing him in this movie and then they just kind of brought it along. But
right.
Who did the actor for him?
Ben Kingsley.
He did a phenomenal job because he was on the Colbert Report the one night when I was watching, and he said 90% of his acting and all of his roles were in front of a camera and not to real people. And, I don't know, when you saw that in the movie, it actually seemed like he was maniacal without talking to anybody using anybody as a reaction.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, the videos they made were pretty great. That was all cool. And again, like, it would have worked. Like, even the twist works on a pretty basic level, and it's pretty funny, and it works for the movie. But again, it would have been phenomenally better if they had it like a legit villain, or at least a villain that had clear motivations and, you know, that kind of thing behind it, like that was manipulating.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that about wraps it up. Mm-hmm. So thanks guys for being part of this episode of Rant, and I hope to have you back again for something else in the future.
Yeah, thank you.
You.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Rambling About Notable Topics. You can find all of our episodes, plus the Rant blog, at ajazznetworks.com, as well as our other great content, including Ajazz Tech, The Salinor Show, and Internet Amazings. You can follow the official Rant Twitter at Rambling Topics, and myself at Kyle Cicilloni. You can also listen to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
You can find this show and more at Ajazz Networks. Originally different media for your personal taste.